I now give the floor to His Excellency Wilfred Arrington, Attorney General and Minister of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade of Belize.
Good morning, Mr. President. On behalf of the government and people of Belize, it is with great pleasure that I congratulate His Excellency Sam Kutesa in his capacity as President of the 69th session of the General Assembly. I also take this opportunity to register Belize's thanks to his predecessor, a son of our own Caribbean soil, His Excellency Mr. John Ash, who performed his role superbly this past year and leaves a legacy of lasting value to this organization. Mr. President, your chosen theme, delivering on and implementing a transformative post-2015 development agenda, is ambitious, hopeful, challenging. Belize commends you on its selection. We will, in the succeeding 12 months, closely monitor and contribute to its crafting and evolution. You posit that this new agenda should, and I quote, promote sustained and inclusive economic growth, safeguard the future of our planet, and lead to the achievement of sustainable development, and that the eradication of poverty and hunger will be at its core. Belize views these outcomes as more than aspirational. They are imperatives for us. Failure to attain them will result in dire consequences for our nation and people. They call for a transformative mobilization in our societies at the organic level. For that to happen, we must inspire and equip all actors in our societies with the requisite tools to shoulder their responsibilities and to partake in the dividends of sustainable economic growth with equity and social justice. The experiences we have had in seeking to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, however, make us less than sanguine that we will be more successful in achieving the post-2015 development agenda than we were in pursuit of the Millennium Development Goals. We are mindful that the support which some developed member states had pledged to provide for the pursuit of the Millennium Development Goals did not materialize in the quantum that was pledged and needed. Small countries like my own, in the main, are disadvantaged by the lack of resources and human, financial, scientific, and technological capacities that are prerequisites for the successful undertaking of such ambitious and complex initiatives. Without cooperation and support to address these needs from the developed member states of this United Nations, our multilateral agencies, and very importantly, a reform of the policies of the international financial institutions, Belize's attainment of the post-2015 development agenda will be severely hamstrung. Looking to the future, Belize welcomes and supports the adoption by the 68th General Assembly of Resolution A/Res/304 towards the establishment of a multilateral legal framework for sovereign debt restructuring process, and hopes it will lead to a robust multilateral treaty that will increase the efficiency, stability, and predictability of the international financial system. In the wake of the world's financial meltdown in 2008 and the many disasters which have occurred around the world over the last 6 years, necessitating large outlays of donor funding to assist the victims of such disasters, there are unmistakable and troubling indicia of donor fatigue and a tendency towards isolationism and self-centeredness in our global environment. This trend does not augur well for the financing of the post-2015 development agenda. Belize, nonetheless, remains cautiously optimistic. We are encouraged by the pilgrimage to this assembly hall over the past week of world leaders of nations large and small, friends and foes, allies and enemies. Each mounted this very podium, and each, in essence, voluntarily reaffirmed the conviction of their respective countries that collective action under these United Nations offer our world the only true hope of dealing successfully with the myriad problems presently afflicting mankind, be it climate change, the dreaded Ebola virus, religious fanaticism, or persistent poverty and underdevelopment. Of these maladies, Belize regards climate change as being the most pernicious. While consensus seemed to have been finally reached globally, both as to the causes as well as to the cure for this apocalyptic phenomenon, absent still is the political will of the major emitters to take immediate, concerted, and decisive action to combat it. Indeed, in like manner in which the international community was grievously dilatory in taking prompt collective action to prevent the massacre in Rwanda, genocide, and to prevent the present spread of the Ebola virus in Africa, in like manner, the major emitters are being dilatory in confronting the challenges posed by climate change. It is evident that the threats posed by epidemics, pandemics, and terrorism to our planet and to mankind pale into insignificance when compared to the existential threats posed by climate change. Furthermore, it is equally evident that it would not be hyperbole to opine that time is not on our side. Horrendous devastation is already occurring around the world, caused by extreme droughts, huge conflagrations in our forests, intense rainfalls, floods, hurricanes, melting snow caps, warming seas and sea level rises, and an awful and frightening increase in pestilence and diseases. My own country, Belize, is already experiencing inter alia coral bleaching, coastal erosion, and flooding. And it is forecasted that next year the entire country will be visited by severe drought. The cost of mitigating the damage that is already being done to my country and of adaptation to climate change is prohibitive. Mr. President, it is time for the large competing emitters to put aside suspicion of each other and to commit to cap global warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. While my country appreciates pledges already made to the Green Climate Fund, the amount of money needed to address global warming is exponentially more. We do, however, remain optimistic that a robust climate change agreement will be signed in Paris in 2015. The developmental and security needs of nations, large and small, in this era of globalization have hastened the imperative of regional integration. Indeed, it is virtually impossible for any nation to function successfully on its own today in any sphere of activity. In the case of my own country, the measure of development and security which we have enjoyed over the past 33 years since the gaining of our independence must be credited in large part to the good relations which we have had and continue to have with our partners in the various regional integration groupings to which we belong, and to the excellent cooperation programs which we share with our bilateral and multilateral partners, prominent among which are the various agencies of the United Nations. However, even as we acknowledge with gratitude the tremendous contributions of our partners to our nation's security and development, our government is ever mindful that the primary responsibility for our nation's security and development rests and remains with our government and people. In this conviction, and given our limited resources, our government had had to prioritize its areas of intervention. It has concentrated on the provision of the basic needs of our nation, namely security, housing, education, health, employment, and wealth generation. Highest on this list of priorities is the need to safeguard the security and territorial integrity of our country. Successive Belizean governments have invested heavily in efforts to bring about a peaceful resolution to the Guatemalan territorial claim over our country. Our government is unalterably wedded to the resolution of this claim peacefully by adjudication at the International Court of Justice. We have enlisted the support of all international friends and partners for that decision, and the Guatemalan government is also committed through the special agreement of 2008 to the resolution of the claim by the International Court of Justice. We are convinced that any kind of international conflict, wars, and rumors of wars can only bring grief and cause pain, hardship, and devastation. That is why we keep working assiduously with our neighbors in the region to cement friendly, peaceful, collaborative, and productive relations in order to achieve development for our people. Mr. President, Belize is very pleased by the recent designation by the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC, of our entire region as a zone of peace. We also welcome your own call, Mr. President, for the intensification of efforts towards a peaceful settlement of disputes. Domestically, Belize has enjoyed uninterrupted peace and harmony for the last 33 years. Our government acts with alacrity and sensitivity to diffuse any situation which has the potential for civil strife and disorder, and we invest substantially on our security forces, both on capacity building as well as on equipment and transportation. In our quest for wealth generation, job creation, and the attainment of sustainable development, Belize is pursuing inter alia the prescriptions articulated in our Horizon 2030 National Development Plan. In that regard, our government is working in close concert with economic development experts from the IMF, the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, and other development institutions. Among the initiatives we are pursuing is a comprehensive program of infrastructure works throughout our country, which includes the upgrading and expanding of major highways, the paving of streets in cities and towns, the installation of new drains in flood-prone areas, and the construction and upgrading of sporting stadiums and recreational community buildings. These programs are being executed at a total cost of some $100 million. Thanks to the collaboration of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela and the tremendous support we received through the Petrocaribe Initiative, our government has been able to invest in infrastructure and social programs to the benefit of all our citizens. Our government is cognizant of the importance of good infrastructure to economic development. Belize is a major exporter of primary products. All our agri-products are transported by roads from the farms to the factories and then to the seaports for export. The aquaculture products and the petroleum products we produce are also transported by road to our seaports. All our archaeological sites and many of our tourist resorts are also only accessible by roads. It is the expectation of our government that with the enhancement of our network of streets and roads, our country will become more attractive to both residents and foreigners, be they tourists or investors, and that this will translate into a rapid expansion in productivity, economic growth, and wealth generation. With a view to ensuring that as many Belizean workers as possible obtain employment in the infrastructure works being carried out, our government has requested all contractors who successfully bid for the works to utilize manual labor wherever it is feasible so to do. These works are providing employment for many Belizean youth, both male and female. As a foreigner initiative to stimulate economic development, our government inaugurated the very first national bank 1 year ago. The bank started out modestly. It commenced operations by providing loans primarily to finance the acquisition of homes for middle-class Belizeans. Though limited in its offerings, the bank's establishment has resulted in an immediate and dramatic reduction of interest rates being charged by commercial banks in the country on similar loans. This is a welcome development, a goal which our government had tried for many years to achieve without success. The new bank is rapidly building up its customer base and has now started to accept deposits. The prospect for young, employed Belizeans to own their own homes at affordable mortgages is now greatly increased. Very many Belizeans are already landed property owners thanks to an ongoing program by successive governments to make land available to them at minimal costs. Our government is also aggressively promoting foreign direct investment. We have successfully attracted investment in petroleum extraction, agribusiness, renewable energy, tourism, and business processes outsourcing. On our Independence Day, 21st September 1981, Belize inherited an education system that was designed to educate citizens for the needs of a remote colonial outpost in the industrial age, whose primary economic activity was the export of timber and sugar. We have since been making strenuous efforts to transform that system into one capable of satisfying the needs of an independent nation in this 21st century information age. This is proving to be a task fraught with great difficulty. It is also an exceedingly expensive one. Our government presently spends 26% of our national budget on the education sector. But that is not nearly enough to cover the cost of the training and education needs of our young nation. We appreciate, however, that the quality of our workforce will be a great determinant in our future development, and that we must therefore do all in our power to make our workforce the very best it can be, regardless of the cost, and without heeding the sacrifices we will undoubtedly have to make. To that end, our government is engaged in a number of initiatives aimed at training and educating our population. Among those is a comprehensive teacher training and certification program. We are resolved to have only teachers trained in pedagogy and in the various subject areas which they are expected to teach in our classrooms. Simultaneously, we are assiduously expanding our education coverage from the pre-primary to the tertiary levels. Indeed, more young people today than at any other time in the history of our nation can afford to obtain an education and can find space in an educational institution near to their homes. We are also placing increasing emphasis on vocational and technical education and training and on the teaching of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We are in the planning stage of a new Institute of Science and Technology, and we are expanding the presence of centers for employment training across our country. Because we only possess two young universities, we make strenuous efforts to gain access to universities and other advanced educational institutions abroad for those of our students who successfully attain the matriculation requirements for entry into these institutions. We have been very successful in this initiative. The vast majority of our students attend these universities on scholarships, thanks to the generosity of our cooperation partners. Every Belizean student, male and female, who attains the requisite matriculation requirement has an equal opportunity to win a scholarship. Current data indicate that our female students are much more successful at winning scholarships than their male counterparts. Our initiatives in the education sector are conducive greatly to the increase in the competence of our workforce at every level, thereby enabling it to produce goods and services that are competitive in the world markets. In order to continue efforts in this regard, we will need the continued support of the United Nations and its formidable network. Mr. President, Belize currently spends over 13% of the national budget on the health sector. We seek to develop and maintain a healthy and productive population. To that end, our government is expanding school feeding programs countrywide, as well as programs which allow parents of low-income families to purchase food items at concessionary rate. We know that regular, balanced meals are vital to the health of our population, and that it's much less expensive to keep our population healthy than it is to cure it when ill. We continue to strengthen our primary health care network. We continuously upgrade facilities in our hospitals and clinics with modern diagnostic equipment. Our flagship public hospital is now benefiting from significant technological updates. We also recently inaugurated a brand new neonatal wing to that hospital. For the first time in our country's history, a state-of-the-art facility to cater exclusively for the health needs of our physically challenged children has been built. This facility is the brainchild of the wife of our Prime Minister, who serves as a special envoy for women and children in Belize. She spearheaded both the raising of the finances for its construction and the supervision of its construction. We take this opportunity to applaud the efforts of our special envoy, who just a few days ago also hosted one of the largest gatherings of first ladies and spouses of heads of state and government on the subject of women and girls' empowerment here at the United Nations. The special event is a universal call to action on the financial health of women and girls based on the Beijing Platform for Action. We urge all governments and international organizations to support this worthy cause. Belize expanded the coverage of our health insurance scheme in the last budget year, and through our cooperation agreement with the Republic of Cuba, we are significantly increasing the number of our health care personnel. Indeed, only 3 weeks ago, we welcomed a contingent of some 35 newly trained Belizean doctors, the largest contingent of doctors ever to return to our country in a single year. Our citizens are our nation's most valuable resource. We are resolved to invest in them, to enhance their competencies, and to ameliorate the quality of life of each and every one of them. Mr. President, the principal victims of global strife and global tragedies are invariably human beings. This United Nations was founded on the determination that no other generation would have to suffer the scourge of war, which we all know brings nothing but death, destruction, and sorrow to mankind. Our compact is to promote and protect fundamental human rights and the dignity and worth of the human person, all human persons of all nations, large and small. Devastating Ebola virus is increasing exponentially and frighteningly. While we are disappointed that international health agencies did not respond more vigorously and with greater alacrity to this Ebola outbreak many months ago, Belize welcomes the Secretary General's UN mission for Ebola emergency response. Belize adopts without reservation the call for the Republic of Taiwan to be permitted to participate in the specialized agencies of the United Nations. In this modern day and age, it is incomprehensible that we should want to deny ourselves the benefit of their expertise in dealing with global issues. If we are to remain true to the principle of inclusion as enshrined in our charter, and as being promoted in the post-2015 development agenda, we must continue, Mr. President, to advocate for the right of the Sahrawi people for self-determination. The indiscriminate killing maiming, and destruction recently meted out to innocent Palestinian civilians, especially helpless women and children, and on their possessions is an affront to decency, morality, and humanity. We reiterate our support for the resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by diplomatic means and for the coexistence of the State of Israel and the State of Palestine in peace and security in their respective pre-1967 international borders as recognized by the international community. Mr. President, Belize is convinced that any discussion of a future development agenda must include the removal of unilateral harmful practices that stifle and stagnate development wherever this occurs. In this respect, we join the rest of the international community in calling for an end to the anachronistic embargo against Cuba. Belize recognizes that foremost among our development priorities is to ensure the sustainability of the environment in keeping with our flagship status as a haven for democracy, promotion and protection of human rights, and environmental conservation. We embrace the principle that economic growth should not come at any cost, and that neither should our people have to forego development to protect the natural environment. We firmly believe that it is a false dichotomy to pit development against the environment. That is why we fully welcome and embrace the principle of sustainable development. Mr. President, our future and the world's depend on the entire world embracing the sustainable development approach. I thank you.
I thank the Attorney General and Minister for Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade of Belize for his statement.